na chai tana prabhani tana jaya jaita godana shivasadi.
Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on September 11, 1979 in Los Angeles, California. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 7, Text 18.
From the Adi Leela, Chapter 7.
How many need?
This Adi Leela Volume 2 is entitled Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Renounced Order of Life. And Chapter 7 is entitled Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. So we're beginning with text number 18 and 19. Asking if Srila Chayapad will read.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samini Tinamine Namaste. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesha Sannavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namo Namah Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Kam Nami Bhakti Shaktikam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Godadhara Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Binda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Gora Bhakta Vrinda.
Text 18 and 19.
Ja savaloya prabhu nitya vihar Ja savaloya prabhu kirtana prochar Ja savaloya korin prema swadhan Ja savaloya dhana kore prema dhan.
Translation. The internal devotees or potencies are all eternal associates in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Only with them does the Lord taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does He distribute this love of God to people in general. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Distinguishing between pure devotees and internal or confidential devotees, Sri Rupa Goswami in his book Upadeshamrita traces the following gradual process of development. Out of many thousands of karmis, one is better when he is situated in perfect Vedic knowledge. Out of many such learned scholars and philosophers, one who is actually liberated from material bondage is better. And out of many such persons who are actually liberated, one who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered to be the best. Among the many such transcendental lovers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the gopis are the best. And among the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the best. Srimati Radhika is very dear to Lord Krishna. And similarly, her pond, namely Shyamakunda and Radhakunda, are also very much dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura comments in his Anubhashya that among the five tattvas, two are energies, Shakti Tattva, and the three others are energetic, Shaktiman Tattva. Unalloyed and internal devotees are both engaged in the favorable culture of Krishna consciousness, untinged by philosophical speculation or fruitive activities. They are all understood to be pure devotees, and those among them who simply engage in conjugal love are called madhurja bhaktas, or internal devotees. The potential loving services in parental love, fraternity, and servitude are included in conjugal love of God. In conclusion, therefore, every confidential devotee is a pure devotee of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoys his pastimes with his immediate expansion, Nityananda Prabhu, his pure devotees, and his three Purusha incarnations, namely Karuna Dakka Sai Vishnu, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, and Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, all avoided the benefit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement of developing love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt compassion for them, and it is for this reason that he decided to accept the sannyas order. For by seeing him as a sannyas, they would offer him respect. The sannyas order is still respected in India. Indeed, the very dress of a sannyasi still commands respect from the Indian public. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas to facilitate preaching his devotional cult, although otherwise he had no need to accept the fourth order of spiritual life. Text 34. Chobis vatsa chila grihastha asrame pancha bingsati varshe koilo jyoti dharme. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in householder life for 24 years. And on the verge of his 25th year, he accepted the sannyas order. Purport. There are four orders of spiritual life, namely brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. And in each of these ashramas, there are four divisions. The divisions of the brahmachari ashrama are savitra, prajapatya, brahma, and brihat. And the division of the grihastha ashrama, Vartha, professionals, Sanchoya, accumulators, Salina, those who do not ask anything from anyone, and Tilonchana, those who collect grains from the paddy fields. Similarly, the division of Vanaprastha Ashram are Vaikanasa, Balikhilya, Arumbara, and Fainapa. And the divisions of sannyas are Kuti Chaka, Bahudaka, Hansa, and Niskriya. There are two kinds of sannyasis who are called Dhiras and Narottamas, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, 13th chapter, 26th and 27th verses. At the end of the month of January in the year 1432 Sakabda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order from Keshava Bharati, who belongs to the Sankara Sampradaya. Thus end the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
These verses, one can clearly learn about the transcendental characteristics of the Supreme Being, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Mahapradhanyavatara, or the most magnanimous incarnation of the Lord. To study the characteristics of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the Sankirtan movement is the duty of all the Vaishnavas. We must study very deeply all these principles so that we will know how the Sankirtan, the glorification of the Lord, is to be conducted following in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas, headed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to engage in Sankirtan, or glorification of the Lord, is the process in this age for becoming enlightened and experiencing the perfection of one's spiritual identity. The perfection of our spiritual identity is to develop full love for Krishna. The process for developing full love for Krishna, tasting the transcendental bliss of this love of Krishna, and being enlightened about our spiritual existence, which is completely different from this material body. The process for this is to glorify the Lord. But the process of religion cannot be in any way concocted or invented by an ordinary person. The process for coming to this stage of perfection is given by the Lord Himself. So we have to study all of these principles, one after another. We should not perform Sankirtan in a different way. We should not engage in glorifying Krishna in a different way. We should follow strictly the Panchatattva without changing these principles, or not knowing of them, we may not follow them. No, we must follow. We must study. This is the process for this age, for becoming enlightened. This is the most important subject matter. How to perform Sankirtan. You'll never hear of any more important subject matter in the course of your entire life. So we have to apply all of our intelligence to understanding how it is to be done. Just like the Brahmana, his duty is to satisfy the Lord by performing different sacrifices. So all those who are initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, they're considered even more than Brahmanas. Vaishnava is even more than Brahmana. And they must know how to perfectly perform the sacrifice which will satisfy the Lord. So in different religions, there are many injunctions performing different types of ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices for pleasing God. But the Shastra teaches that in this age of Kali, you can only satisfy God by the performance of this Sankirtan Jagya. There is no other way, and this is stated in the Brihat Naradiya Purana. So this is our duty, to absorb our minds and intelligence in understanding the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the members of the Panchatattva, how they introduced the Sankirtan, the glorification of the Lord, how they absorbed themselves in distributing love of Godhead, and thus, by chanting and dancing and preaching, their thirst and taste increased hundreds and hundreds of times. How they did not discriminate between who was a fit candidate and who was not a fit candidate, and what was a suitable place and what was not a suitable place. They were completely free from all kinds of designations. They were absorbed in the bliss of serving God as His instruments. Whatever they had to do to spread Krishna consciousness, they were prepared to do it. It didn't matter. There was no designations to be concerned about. They were prepared to do anything. They were prepared to accept any position, even if it appeared to be some material position, they were prepared to accept it. Whatever had to be done to spread Krishna consciousness, and by being so surrendered, just absorbed in identifying themselves as the instruments of the Lord. Whatever Lord wants, we'll do. And whatever it takes to do it, we will do it. We'll subject ourselves to any kind of activity, it doesn't matter. This taking of sannyas by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proves that this is the highest consciousness, to be willing to accept any kind of position and activity if it will spread Krishna consciousness. Never mind what one is disposed to or what one is attracted to. That was never mentioned as a consideration by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His only consideration was to keep himself absorbed in the mood of distributing love of God to others. This is the highest pleasure for the soul. It is far beyond the pleasure of being absorbed in one's own spiritual advancement and ignoring others. There is certainly transcendental bliss for one who is absorbed in his own bhajan. But greater bliss is tasted when one is absorbed in distributing love of Krishna to fallen souls. Bringing others to Krishna is a higher taste. And this is the main consideration. So whatever one has to do to be the instrument of the Lord in performing Sankirtan, or seeing that the glorification of Krishna is conducted in a way that everyone becomes attracted, this is the principle. We have to be prepared to adjust. These purports clearly instruct we cannot be stereotyped and attached to a particular position or designation. A true acharya is prepared to make any sacrifice, to make any adjustment which will further spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Whatever will give the greatest results in terms of Krishna consciousness being spread, that is the principle of an acharya. Whatever will give the greatest results in terms of Krishna consciousness being spread is the main principle for an acharya who is dear to the Lord, who is representative of the Lord. So all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are ordered by him to become acharyas, to become representatives. Later on in this volume, we will read that order. To everyone in the universe, he says, I order them to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it to others. That is the order of God to all of us, to become acharyas, his representatives. Somehow or other, this Sankirtan, glorifying God, must go from village to village and town to town. And that is the way we will become enlightened souls. And that is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his personal example. And as stated in the first or second purport we read, one who absorbs himself in this mood, he gradually becomes elevated through all the different stages of bhakti. He comes ultimately to the highest stage of becoming a confidential devotee of the Lord. That was the distinction was made in the very first verse between the pure devotee and the confidential or internal devotee. We can try and study this point because it is the most astonishing feature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is not simply awarding bhakti. He is not simply awarding moksha. He is not simply letting you understand the majesty of God and freeing you from all karma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing something which no one, neither a saint or a prophet or even God himself in his previous incarnation had ever done before. He is giving something which cannot even be imagined. Of course, one must be very advanced in transcendental knowledge to even appreciate what is the position of a confidential or internal devotee of the Lord. But this position, which is only found in Goloka Vrindavan, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is awarding one who follows these principles, therefore, of the Yuga Dharma, will gradually, as clearly stated in these verses, become elevated to this most wonderful position, which is the highest perfection of the soul in love of Krishna. So, with great conviction and faith, we should study these principles and keep our mind and intelligence and heart absorbed in the mood taught by Lord Chaitanya to be prepared to give this life for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. We have got this body and it has a certain amount of time allotted to it. We can't do anything about that. We can't decrease it or increase it. There's no shortcut. We have to exist in this world for so many years. Now we should give all of those years, all of that time, to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should try to the best of our ability to absorb ourselves in this mood of being Krishna's instrument, the instrument of the Sankirtan movement. Whatever has to be done to reach the different types of people and make them appreciate this Krishna consciousness, we should not hesitate to accept that position. If we can just enter into that mood of surrender, that is real freedom from illusion. That is real freedom from material designation. That is real freedom from the bodily concept of life. That is the way to perform Sankirtan. Now that mood must be there. And then as we go on day after day and year after year, glorifying the Lord, absorbed in hearing and chanting about the Lord, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be revealed to us, will be experienced by us. And we should study and develop our appreciation of this mercy. Why Rupa Goswami is calling him Maha Hadanyavatara? We have to understand very deeply the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the greatest benediction that one can attain. It is greater than earning millions of dollars, being the president or the prime minister, being attractive to women, being powerful, being influential, being famous, all the things that the materialists want for their happiness, which are all flickering, are insignificant compared to this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. And we have to understand so that we can make the proper decision to go after that mercy. The process for going after that mercy has been described in these verses. Simply try to help this mission. Spread Krishna consciousness. Engage in the Sankirtan. Do something, whatever is required, for the glorification of Krishna on this planet. To all classes of men and women and children, no one should be allowed not to appreciate the Sankirtan or the glorification of God. We have to tax our brains to the limit to invent the ways or devise the means and tricks, whatever is required, so that no type of person who exists on this planet will be able to avoid the glorification of God. That is Sankirtan. And that is the mood of an acharya. He is not stereotyped. He is constantly taxing his brain to find newer and newer ways. Jai Sri Sri Rukmini and Dwarkadish. The conditions in the world are always changing. So we can't be stereotyped. We have to study the conditions. We have to study the mentality of the people. Here we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu studying the mentality of the people and adopting various means to attract different types of people. He did not want anyone to escape this flood of love of Krishna. We should be feeling some transcendental anxiety, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt transcendental anxiety. That is part of becoming Krishna conscious. That is part of the process of becoming Krishna conscious. We have to surrender to that. We have to accept that anxiety. Not be selfish and simply try to make a perfectly peaceful condition of life for ourselves while others are going to hell. That is real surrender. We have to accept that anxiety. Not be selfish and simply try to make a perfectly peaceful condition of life for ourselves while others are going to hell. That is real surrender. To accept that anxiety that others are not becoming God conscious. Let me tax myself to think of some new way. That is real surrender. To accept that anxiety that others are not becoming God conscious. Let me tax myself to think of some new way to get them to appreciate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, a material designation. He had no need to accept an order of life or becoming renounced from the material world because he is completely spiritual. There is no material attachment or contamination in him. So what is the necessity for this sannyas? He is simply in anxiety that different classes of men are avoiding the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore he is adopting, according to the times, different activities. And inventing schemes so that all these classes of people who are avoiding will become attached or offer respect or appreciate. And thus, by that act alone, they will become devotees. That was his vision. Somehow or other, get every type of person to appreciate something about the Lord. Somehow or other. And an acharya, or a genuine representative of the Lord, he must, Prabhupada says, he must accept this anxiety and constantly tax the brain to find those ways to attract those who are straying from Krishna consciousness. He cannot be content while people are avoiding becoming enlightened. That mood, if we can surrender and absorb ourselves in that mood, then our performance of Sankirtan will be successful by the grace of Lord Chaitanya. For it is he who proposed to be in anxiety. He proposed this. Therefore, but his grace will be there if we surrender to it. That is the ultimate surrender. Actually, that is, there's no higher surrender. Even to give your whole life for becoming God conscious as a bhajananandi, but that is very peaceful, actually. Higher surrender is to accept this anxiety. How to save these fallen souls. To be concerned for them. So in trying to practice this process of becoming enlightened in this age of Kali, all of these principles have to be followed. there is no more important subject for us to study, as this is the only means for becoming enlightened in this age. So those are some principles for our consideration. So now we may humbly beg Srila Acharyapada to enlighten us further on this matter.
Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Prabhakya Javasudevdara Sri Sri Mad Ramesha Sami Maharaja Ki Sankirtan Senapati Ki Srila Ramesha Sami Ji Ki. Srila Rameswara Swami is expert at taking the nectar and cooking it down, 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 getting it sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. After a talk like that, what is there to say? I'm simply reminded, thinking how wonderfully the topic has been condensed, because I am so foolish. I'm simply reminding of growing sugarcane. I'm so foolish that while these topics are being talked about, I'm thinking about sugarcane. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described about this concentration of transcendental nectar through the example of sugarcane. And I'm seeing how Rameshwar Swami is the expert cook to refine the juice. The sugar cane starts from a seed. One has to plant a seed in the ground, water it, should be not too hot, not too cold. And it sprouts, it grows. The more it grows, the sweeter it becomes. When the sugar cane is ripe, then it becomes filled with sweet juice called sugar cane juice. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved founder Acharya, he would visit Mayapur sometimes and he would kindly accept some sugarcane juice with little lemon and ginger. And he would like it very much. Apart from taking the sugarcane juice as it is, which is a very refreshing and wonderful beverage, the sugarcane juice can be further refined to gur, brown sugar mixed with molasses. So the process is that one has to crush the sugar cane and extract the sweet juice. And he takes the sweet juice and places it upon a furnace. When one is looking what to cook the sugarcane juice with, what do you think is required?
you'll be surprised to know that firewood does not have to be purchased, coal does not have to be supplied, no petroleum product is required. The crushed plant of the sugar cane, that is the fuel for cooking and concentrating that sweet juice. So the comparison is that the seed of devotion is planted by the mercy of the spiritual master, by the mercy of Krishna representatives, the pure devotees. And from that seed it grows. The seed is known as faith. That seed grows into a sugar cane plant. That plant is known as association of devotees. But so long as one doesn't begin to practice devotional service, the juice, the nectar, the sugar cane rasa is hidden within that stalk. So long as it is not taken out of the stalk, what is the use? One has to get the juice out. That taking the juice out, that juice is compared to the practice of devotional service. Bhajana kriya. But juice contains so many impurities. When one squeezes the juice, there's some dust, there's some green chlorophyll, there's various kinds of impurities mixed with that ras, that juice, that sweet nectarian water of the sugarcane plant. We personally grow sugarcane at Mayapur, and I have seen this process practically done many times. It is very interesting. Just like that in devotional service, the stage of anartha nibriti bhajan kriya, devotional service following rules and regulations, and the clearing stage to get rid of unwanted material desires is compared to the juice stage. So we put that juice in the kiln, in the furnace, and we burn it with its own stalk. This signifies that devotional service does not require help from anything else. Doesn't require from gyan or knowledge. Doesn't require from mystic yoga. Doesn't require from mental speculation or from charity, fruitive activity. It nourishes itself. It's self-contained. So one takes that sugarcane juice, heats it, and brings it to a boil. One has to apply the heat, as Srila Rameswar Swami was explaining. One has to be in anxiety to satisfy his spiritual master. He has to be absorbed. Heart, soul, mind. That is compared to the heat. As it's boiling, as the juice is boiling, it starts off to be green in color. And one sees a foam form, a grayish foam containing the small particles of stick and other impurities that was floating and suspended in animation within that juice. So as this foamy impurity rises, an expert cook has to be present. That is the intelligence. Intelligence has to always be active, conscious, Krishna conscious, that when a material thought comes into the mind, it has to be simply taken and discarded. So like that, with a implement like a puri cooker. Have you seen a puri cooker with the holes in it? Many of you must have seen. So with a very big implement looking just like that, One takes the foam as soon as it comes and throws it. If one is neglectful, then the boiling action, naturally the water is agitated, it's bubbling. Again, those impurities become overcooked and settle down to the bottom. And then it is a messy job to clean it out. It takes a long time again to come up. That means that one cannot be careless if he starts to meditate. When the material desires come and think, oh, yes, there's hope for me to enjoy material life. I yet still haven't tried that one way of material happiness. Maybe there's a chance for me to become materially happy. If we are fooled in this way to think that this material world offers us a permanent status of happiness, then that impurity again mixes with foam that's not edible by human beings. It is very much appreciated by others. It is appreciated particularly by our four-legged friend, the dog. The dogs come and they eat that foam. And they get so filled with foam and sweet juice that they waddle around here and there enjoying. Half drunk. And they howl. Ooh. You see. So this type of impurities, they're good for people like dogs. And they can eat and enjoy. In an unconscious state. But they're not meant for the purified, enlightened souls with spiritual wisdom. So as we take the juice, and now all the impurities have been thrown off, and it's cooking down and down, it becomes very, very fragrant. Very fragrant. At that time we take that scoop, and holding it up in the air, we test it. Is it ready? And when it's ready, then as the juice falls from the spoon, it forms a trail of toffee. And that toffee blows as a thin thread in the wind. So then we know that now this juice has become surip. It has become ready to crystallize and make into crystal molasses or gur. So then it is taken down and put into containers. Best container is a clean earthen container. Put into the containers. But you'll be quite amazed to hear that on its own it doesn't crystallize. In fact, it will just stay a surip, forever, if nobody intervenes. It's a very amazing thing. What one has to do is if he takes one, it's a secret, if he takes one particle of sugar, one particle, and places it within that syrup, immediately it becomes crystallized. Just like a domino reaction, the whole thing breaks up into small granules of brown crystalline molasses. This seed is the mercy of Guru. One must get the mercy of his spiritual master to become fixed in devotional service. On his own, simply cooking will not be enough. He also must get the mercy of his spiritual master. He must take initiation and get his mercy. It's essential. So, that gur is compared to fixed. Now it is crystallized. It is fixed devotional service, nishtha bhakti. Practicing devotional service when one's mind is fixed on the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. One further takes that gur and he can make a candy from it. gur candy, a toffee made of gur. Very nice, especially if one adds sesame seeds or peanuts. It's very nice. We would offer this gur candy to Srila Prabhupada. He liked it very much. In fact, he told us, better not to use sugar, which is made with so many artificial ways and by materialistic people. Better to use our own gur. And if you can refine it further, well and good. So this sugar, excuse me, this gur candy or molasses toffee is compared to ruchi, the taste for devotional service, where one develops the deep taste of the nectar of surrendering to Krishna. One can further refine and he can produce type of pure brown sugar. All the molasses, which is a bit bitter, is removed. And one is simply left with the pure crystal of brown sugar. Very, very nice. Much more sweet. So this brown sugar is compared to ashakti, attachment to devotional service. That is further purified into pure white crystalline sugar. This white crystalline sugar is even more sweet than the brown sugar. It is almost at the perfectional stage. In effect, it is also perfect, but it is small in dimension, being small granules. It is the stage of bhava, or preliminary love of Godhead in ecstasy. When that is further crystallized and condensed by the mercy of Krishna, that becomes sugar candy. So sweet, the cure for many diseases, and the most refined stage of the sugar. That sugar candy is compared to pure love of Krishna. Krishna prema. So this is how we process the sugar cane. And this is how we make our advancement in devotional service. So how we are to apply the heat and how we are to refine our devotional mood. I was very much impressed by the great chef, our Acharya Sri Rameshwar Swami, who has given the practical method how this is to be done. Actually, the opportunity to be present in this assembly, to hear the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya from the Charitamrita, and to hear the nectar from the devotees' lips, is the greatest opportunity of my life. These are treasured moments, because while glorifying the Lord, He is present. He is present and He is enjoying the pleasure of His devotees in discussing topics relating to His service. We don't have the real taste. What nectar there is for those who are really pure. The Paramahamsas, who can relish these pastimes fully. When one is freed from all material conception and attachment, he becomes much more, or he becomes really capable of tasting this nectar. We who are conditioned souls,
We are simply getting drops from that ocean of nectar. But those drops are like oceans in themselves. Even the great devotees and demigods are relishing so much the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. One day, Lord Shiva began to meditate on the pastime of Lord Gauranga, the golden avatar, distributing his love of God without consideration of qualification or disqualification. And he just began to just bubble with joy. He started to laugh and laugh. And Parvati, his good wife, she was amazed that why is Lord Shiva laughing? What is happening? So she asked that Lord Shiva, Mahadev, why are you laughing? What are you thinking about? And he said, I'm just thinking about Gauranga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Parvati said, just hearing that name, my hairs are standing on end. Whose name is it? What is this? What is this person? Just by hearing his name, I'm becoming excited. And then he told how this Krishna has gone and assumed the form of his own devotee and with his associates engaging in sankirtan, distributing freely to everyone love of God. And she became very anxious. So where can I meet him? Well, he's due in several million years to come in Kali Yuga. She was, no, but I want to see him now. I don't want to wait till Kali Yuga. So well, she said, if you go to his birthplace and worship there, he's always manifesting his eternal pastimes at his birthplace. Although now is Satya Yuga, it is long time before he is to come. But if you go to his birthplace and worship his holy name, if he is so kind, he can appear to you. He is always present in his holy dham. So Mother Parvati immediately got on her mystic carrier and flew from the sacred abode of Kailash on the border of the material and spiritual world, the bank of the Vairocha River, and she descended into the material world over which she is the supreme energy. And she descended to the holy land of Sri Mayapur Dham. And took shelter in a beautiful grove of auspicious fruit-bearing trees. And she began to do penance of chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Lord Gauranga. Jai Gauranga, Jai Gauranga, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya. She chanted his holy name again and again and again, anxious to have his transcendental darshan. Finally, Lord Chaitanya had mercy upon Mother Parvati Durga Devi, and he appeared to her in his beautiful golden form. And she became ecstatic and offered all kinds of respect and obeisances. So she prayed to Lord Chaitanya that, my dear Lord, you are freely distributing love of God to everyone without without considering their good or bad quality, you're freely giving. What about me? When will I get the mercy? I am simply have the service to put everyone in illusion who turns their face from you. But these fallen souls, they're being delivered and given ecstatic love of Godhead. When will I get this mercy? Won't I get the mercy from you, who are the most compassionate of all avatars of Krishna? So then Lord Chaitanya, he had mercy upon her and explained to her that you are my energy and you are coming expanded from the Yogamaya. Ultimately, you are expanded from Srimati Radharani, my greatest devotee, an eternal consort. So today, being her expansion, may you experience the ecstatic love that she experiences for me. Then he showed his six-arm form. Two arms of Lord Gauranga, two arms Krishna, and two arms of Ramachandra. And Mother Durga experienced complete Krishna prema. She forgot all about Lord Shiva at that time. So, of course, Lord Shiva is coming from Krishna.